Back here live from the KGGF studios on this Wednesday morning as we are back joined again with K-State Extension agents James Cooper and Jacob Weber. Gentlemen, thanks for joining us here on this Wednesday morning. We'll continue with our conversations. Don't forget, phone lines are open if you have any questions about the conversations we have at 251-6909. As James, we've got a course coming up in January. Obviously, it's about a month away, but with the time traveling as quickly as it has recently, it's going to come right around the corner. So you guys got coming up on soybeans. Correct.
Yeah, so on January the 15th, we'll have our soybean school. And these soybean schools, they're very intense. It's all afternoon, and we'll cover all kinds of topics soybean-related. And so it'll be January 15th. It'll be at the Southeast Area Research Station in the afternoon time. So, you know, if you're interested in that, if you grow soybeans, this is something you should come to, because there are so many things needed to know every year, constantly changing, that it's something you have to keep up on. So
yeah, no doubt about. Well, again, is it more of a registration based type of thing? Do you have to call? Do you have to pay? What are all those details?
Yeah. So yeah, give us a call to register. That way I know you're coming and we can order food and all that stuff. And, And so just give us a call at any of your local offices, but the Crawford County one, 620-724-8233.
Great stuff. And is it free, or is it just the registration?
Yeah, it's all free.
Oh, great
free.
Stuff. Yeah. So as he had mentioned, you know, if you are a soybean farmer or involved in them, this is a great course to kind of get those things. You had mentioned a lot of things changing, a lot of advice, a lot of tips that people may want to know. What are a couple of things that our listeners could briefly, you know, kind of go into it maybe with an extra set of questions, or maybe give them some details that they had no idea about?
Yeah. And so, I mean, soybeans have a lot of outside pressure. And so, it's an incredibly valuable crop. Like, we grow 73,000 acres.
Oh, wow.
Just in this county alone, just in Montgomery. And so, I mean, in Kansas, we grow 2 million bushels of soybeans. And about half of that is exported. And so, I mean, corn, for instance, less than 20% is exported. So it is a huge export industry, and we use a lot of soybeans. And so, soybeans, the outside pressures they have with all kinds of insects. You got stem borers, the bean leaf beetle, spider mites, diseases. You have charcoal rot, anthracnose, and the soybean cyst nematode, which is not really a disease or an insect, but it's probably the biggest yield stealer that we have. And so they're elusive, they're hard to find, but there's a test to do to take care of them. And so, and there's genetic resistances and all sorts of other things. And so coming to these kind of training events and learning the details of that kind of stuff will really help.
There's a lot of times, do you guys have, specific instructors or guest speakers coming in? Is there anyone that is going to kind of hit on that, or do you guys have several people coming in to speak?
Yeah, we got a bunch of specialists at K-State, like the higher-ups, and they got Jeff Whitworth, who's the insect person. We got Gretchen Sassenfrass, and she's a local crop production specialist, Dan O'Brien, and he'll actually be talking about the soybean markets. And right now, those are kind of up and down, volatile, and with all the trade agreements and all that, that's going to be a good topic to cover. Soil fertility, which is always something that we need to focus on, especially here in Southeast Kansas. And we'll also have Dallas Peterson with weed control, which is another big topic when it comes to soybeans.
Yeah. So. Okay. And then here's, you know, kind of a question from a guy on the outside here, but at the same time, I listen to the news, almost forced to here working at KGGF. But all of those, I think they're called tariffs on the soybeans and things like that. What's the highest asked question that people have when it comes to that? Because I didn't know the sheer percentage of what Kansas is exporting in terms of soybeans. So that affects a lot of Kansans with those tariffs. What is the number one asked question that people usually have on them?
Well, I wouldn't say, people don't really ask me the questions because I'm not the market
certainly,
guy, agronomist,
but
you know, soybeans with the, we export 50% of our soybeans. Well, 50% of those exports go to China, or at least they used to. And so China was definitely a massive consumer or importer of soybeans. And so right now that soybean market is decreased considerably. They're getting most of their soybeans from Brazil. However, we're still finding places to get, you know, sell our soybeans, Egypt, European Union and other places. And so there are some other things picking up recently in the markets when it comes to exporting to China, but there's a lot of stuff going on there. So.
A lot of stuff going on. A lot of questions I'm sure our listeners or producers have. And again, an easy opportunity to come and ask these questions, get a lot of them answered at this event going on there. So yeah, the markets are definitely all over. That's what I hear probably the most of, but that, you know, has to do with the national economy as well as the Kansas State economy, as many of our listeners have felt that this year with the tariffs being put in place. So you had mentioned, you know, you had a guide there to maybe speak about the bugs and maybe pesticides or control, whatever it may be in the markets. Are there any other speakers, or are you guys just kind of going a well-rounded about the soybean? Who else could we expect there?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, really, it's the specialist I mentioned. It's, you know, five or six specialists coming in from K-State. And, you know, these schools, they do every year, but that doesn't always mean they're going to do one around here. And so we're kind of lucky to have the Southeast Dairy Research Station in Parsons, close enough for the listening area to get to. So
yeah, no reason not to go in. And again, just notch down some questions right now. Be overly prepared. That's one thing that I've always known, especially if I'm not necessarily bothered, but affected by something, and I have a lot to say. It's better to write it down and make sure that you get everything out and every answer, you know, every question answered to the fullest. And these are the opportunities to do it, because, man, I did not know that percentage is staggering. The amount that we export here in the state of Kansas. And if you're out there listening right now, don't forget our phone lines are open. If you had a question regarding the course coming up in the month of January, or a question about soybeans as well. James, did you have anything else for our listeners about the soybeans?
No, I mean, it's just, it's these schools are important to get to, yeah. You know.
Let's drop that information again. It's coming up on the 15th of January. Where's it at? What time? And how can they get involved?
Yeah, so it's on January the 15th, the Southeast Area Research Station, and that's in Parsons, in the northwest side. And so just contact one of the local extension offices to get into it. The one at Crawford is 620-724-8233, or you could email me at jcoover@ksu.edu.
Great stuff. All right, gentlemen, well, we still got a few minutes here to till we find ourselves at the bottom of the hour. It's obviously, it's colder months. It's slowed right down. You haven't had too many questions and things like that. But either of you, for our listeners out there, did you have any, you know, things to kind of get proactive for the springtime? Because like I had mentioned, there's a, you know, as much as we say we're a month away from that course on soybeans, it's going to be here like it's tomorrow. And same with spring. Spring's going to come knocking at some point. So what are some things that we can, you know, give ourselves a step in the right direction?
Well, we got the farmers market workshop coming up here February 2nd, and that's not too far away.
No, it is not.
That'll be a Saturday, and it's an all-day event. It starts at 9 in the morning, goes to 3 in the afternoon, and we have multiple speakers for this event, little breakout sessions as well. And this is for the folks that are in the food production for purpose of selling at farmers markets, and it also includes some food handling, food safety tips, information. So it's a very important workshop. This is we're trying to grow the local production, bring it back, and have an avenue for getting the type of production that would be more like fresh from the farm, mm-hmm, to the consumer, kind of direct marketing by the producers. There's a little bit of nostalgia with this type of marketing, and of course the prices may vary a little bit, maybe a little bit more expensive than maybe what you find in the large grocery stores, but there's the payoff is typically fresher, higher quality produce and seasonal produce that may be in quantities that may be agreeable for folks who like to preserve, do a little preserving. But farmers market vendor workshop, it's February 2nd. This is going to be at the same place where the soybean school is being held, the Southeast Area Research Center at Parsons. And it's a nice facility, very nice facility, and easy access, just right off of Highway 400 and Ness Road. I believe that's Ness Road, 32nd Street in Parsons. You just pull right off the highway. It's the first right about block and a half south of the highway, right there in the corner. Easily, high visibility, lots of parking, great facility, nice restrooms, but I say. Plug it.
Okay. There you go. Give them a shout out with that. And it was, you know, I worked a lot before in radio in the restaurant industry, and you know, having fresh, you know, that farm to table kind of feel. You're right. It can increase in price a little bit. You know, especially if you combine it and go with your weekly base on a restaurant bulk size. Obviously, it's going to be a little bit more pricey than what you would get just buying it from a service or a big box store, whatever it may be. But I'll tell you what, the freshness. You can taste. I mean, it's a difference. You can taste it, and I'm sure in areas like this. I come from Fort Collins. It's not a whole lot of, well, actually, CSU is very ag oriented, but not a whole lot of ag like it would be out here. I'm sure it's, you know, very vital and important to have a strong farmers market for some of the people around in this area.
Well, the other thing is you get to visit with people who grew the produce.
Yeah. And you get to have that conversation. Not only that, I mean, it just makes you feel a little bit better. You hear all those. The radio commercials of it's like, oh, I drink this milk, you drink it too, you know. Yeah. But it's a radio advertisement, it is. Yeah. And this is a personal level where you get to go and talk with the farmers, talk with the producers, and ask questions, you know, maybe pick out the best one in their opinion. I don't know, but it's a different level. And as I had mentioned, you know, I'm sure you know, having a strong farmers market is good for, you know, the smaller producers. Or
it also economic development. It does add a lot to the communities. And as these farm markets grow and develop, we get more vendors and more consumers buying produce that in that direction. So it doesn't replace the other avenue for food delivery, but it sure augments it and actually probably brings in more clientele.
Yeah, certainly does. And then again, you gotta love the transparency as well, being there right next to the producer of it and asking the questions that you may have. So we got a couple of minutes left here till we finish our conversations this morning with James and Jacob. Gentlemen, did you have any final notes for our listeners before we lose you?
Folks like to grow amaryllis for Christmas, the gift plant, amaryllis bulb. I'm just going to pop that in real quick. Do you know what I'm talking about? Large trumpet-shaped flowers.
Okay.
Oftentimes in brilliant red.
Yeah.
Just excellent for Christmas, Christmas gift-giving. And amaryllis is actually a perennial bulb, and a person can keep them. I have mine for probably 15 years now.
Oh, wow.
And it's produced a couple of daughter plants, offsets, and almost killed it once because
no.
I neglected. I forgot it. I oftentimes put it away for the winter. I put it under crawl space underneath the house, and I forgot it.
Oh, no.
And it was mid-August before I remembered it. So, but it revived it, and it let me bring it back to life. And it was grateful for a little bit of help.
Yeah, sounds like a strong plant then. My goodness, you almost just let it be, and it came back.
Yeah, but you'll see these gift plants are packaged, pre-packaged with a pot and a potting mix and everything. Really a nice plant to give, and of course they thrive in brilliant light or bright light. They really do, and they'll last longer if they're kept in a little bit in the cool side. And of course, if you really want an excellent flower display, get those that have the larger bulb. Those bulbs that are about the size of maybe a large tennis ball, or maybe a little bit larger than a baseball size. Those bulbs may oftentimes produce two flower stalks and maybe give you a bloom of about 2 weeks. Very attractive plant.
Yeah, well, you'd mentioned Christmas gift. It could be, you know, for the better half, could be whichever. But I've always said, whether it's plants or an animal, it's a great tool for a kid to kind of learn that responsibility. You know,
right.
As you had mentioned, instead of forgetting it underneath the stairwell, I have to look after this plant.
There
and it's an easy plant to, as you had mentioned, to kind of keep after. And I mean, you got to water it. You got to make sure it get that sunlight, abundance of it. But again, it's one of those things that, if you get your kids, it's throw it in the window and take care of it. It's a responsibility factor that suddenly they don't know that they're doing it.
One of those STEM experiments.
Exactly.
There you go.
Exactly. Great stuff. Again, that is Jacob Weber alongside James Cooper in this morning from the K-State Extension offices. Gentlemen, I don't know if we will see you next week. You guys will be here?
I will be here.
Jacob will be here. Perfect. That will be my first day back from vacation. So, Jacob, I will see you there next Wednesday. James, you guys both have a great Christmas.
Yeah, thank you.
Same to you.
It's the Mighty 690 KGGF.